I think if I had, at the beginning of the reading, before I had announced the reading, if I had said to you, turn in your Bibles to the Great Commission, I expect you would have turned to Matthew chapter 28. Because we often think of the closing words of Matthew 28, the risen Jesus speaking to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. We often think of those words as the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you till the end of the age. I expect we often think of those words as the Great Commission. But actually those words are founded in the words of this psalm. Look at the opening verses of this psalm, particularly verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, to whom is this psalm addressed? David wrote this psalm. We know it. It actually appears in 1 Chronicles in its entirety. It was written when David brought the ark into Jerusalem. Do you remember that occasion where he danced before the Lord and his wife despised him? This is when this psalm was written. So David wrote this psalm. To whom is David addressing? Is he addressing the people of Israel? Well, most psalms are addressed to the people of Israel, but not this one. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And then it's as if he's speaking to Israel, verses 2 and 3. And he says to his own people, Israel, he says to them, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. So you see, you have here a great commission given to God's people by their king. Just as in the book of Matthew 28, you have the great commission given to the disciples of Christ by their king. Here you have the king speaking to the people of Israel and giving them a commission and saying to them, go to the nations and tell the nations of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. We have here a great commission. I want to look specifically this afternoon at verses 2 to 6. I'm not going to speak for long. I want us to spend most of our time in prayer. But I just want to lead us into prayer by looking specifically at verses 2 to 6. I want to ask three questions of those verses. The first question I want to ask is, what is the purpose for which God called his people to himself? What is the purpose for which God called his people to himself? Here we are, the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the people whom God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, what was his purpose in calling us? And I say to you that what David says there in verse 3 is at the heart of it. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the people. We are here to declare the glory of God. We are here to speak and to live for Christ, that the character of God may be seen by the unsaved. This is what the glory of God is. When we ask the question, what do you mean by the glory of God? You're saying to us, declare the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It seems such a such a nebulous term, such a vague kind of idea. Well, in the Bible, it isn't a vague idea. It isn't a nebulous term. It's a solid term because it speaks of the character of God. And it says to us, look at your God and see the fact that your God is king. He is sovereign. He rules everything. Look at the fact that your God's heart is filled with love and filled with mercy, and filled with grace, and filled with compassion. and you're looking at the glory of God. Because the glory of God is seen in His sovereignty, in the fact that He rules the nations. And the glory of God is seen in His dealings with His people, His love, His mercy, His grace, His compassion, His kindness. This is where we find the glory of God. This is why Jesus came. You remember His high priestly prayer. And Jesus says to the Father, I have declared your glory to your people. This is the purpose for which He came. He speaks about it in John 6. He speaks about it in John 17. And He speaks about how the Father sent Him to those whom the Father had given to Him. And how He had come to declare God's character. My friends, this is the purpose for which God has called us. This is why it's such a tragedy when God's people give the impression that our God is an unloving, unkind, unmerciful, ungracious kind of God. This is why when a Christian behaves in an unchristian manner, when a Christian is severe in his manner, censorious, critical, harsh, judgmental, the world looks at the Christian and the world says, this is what Christians are about. What they're actually saying is, this is their God. Well, that isn't our God. Our God is filled with grace and mercy and love towards His people. And we are to declare His character to a lost world that needs Him and His love. So the first question, why has God called His people to Himself? The second question I want to ask is, where are God's people to declare His glory? Where are God's people to declare His glory? Well, it's here, isn't it, in verse 3. Declare His glory among the nations. Among the nations. His marvelous works among the peoples. You know, when you look at this in the context of the Old Testament, it's rather a stunning passage. Because in the Old Testament, Israel were called out from among the nations. And Israel were told to come out from among the nations. This theme of coming out is found in the Old Testament. Abraham was told in Genesis 12, come out from among your people. Leave your nation, leave your people, and leave your family, and come and follow me. Israel were in Egypt, and God calls them out of Egypt, and God says, come out of Egypt. But you see, every time God called people from out of the world, it wasn't so that He would remove them from the world. It wasn't so that He would build huge walls around them and isolate them from the world. It is so that He would pour His grace and His mercy upon them, and thereby prepare them to send them back into the world as witnesses of His glory. This was the reason why He called them out of the world. Abraham, you remember, was given tremendous promises about how his people would be as numerous as sand on the seashore. And Abraham, when he was called in Genesis 12, he was promised, you will be a blessing to the nations. So this calling had a purpose. Right from the beginning, when God called him, God said to him, I have a purpose in calling you. Yes, I want you to leave the idolatrous nations around you and come to me. But the purpose is that you will then go to the idolatrous nations and declare my glory to them. And the same with Israel. When God called Israel out of Egypt, it wasn't so that they would go to the promised land and build huge walls around the promised land and have nothing to do with any other nation. Here is the words of their great king, David, as the ark is being brought into Jerusalem. This is the height of the Davidic kingdom. This is the height of Old Testament history. Old Testament history has been climbing a hill, and when David brings the ark into Jerusalem, we've reached the height. From this point, sadly, Old Testament history starts going down. David's kingdom began to unravel. Solomon's kingdom unraveled, and finally the kingdom split. But this psalm was written at the height of the Davidic kingdom. And David says to the people of Israel, God has a purpose for us. We are not to cut ourselves off from the nations. We are not to have no dealings with the nations at all. We are to declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. He says to them, "Do you know how gracious God has been to you? Do you remember your history, how we were slaves of sin in Egypt, and God in grace pulled us out of Egypt and brought us out on eagle's wings, and in His grace and mercy brought us into the promised land and has provided for us and protected us. All these works of grace, all these works of mercy, all these works of love, we are to declare them to the nations." So why has God called a people to Himself? So that we may declare His glory. Where are we to declare His glory? Among the nations, among the peoples. The third question I have, why are we to do this? Why are we to declare the glory of God to a lost world? So many in this world have no interest in the glory of God. If you were to go knocking on doors here on Copps Road and say, "I've come to speak to you about the glory of God," they would look at you as if you've come from Mars. What are you talking about? Why then should we declare the glory of God to this lost world? Well, look at it from verse 4. Notice verse 4 begins with the word "for," because. So you're given the reason in verse 4. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." We are to declare the glory of God to a lost world, because the world is lost in sin and in idolatry, and is in a miserable condition. There aren't many things in which I'm an expert, but I'm an expert in idolatry. I was for 23 years a Hindu idolater. And I tell you this, there is no joy in idolatry. There is no happiness in idolatry. There is no satisfaction in idolatry. There is no laughter and fun in idolatry. Idolatry is wicked. Idolatry is cruel. Idolatry brings only despair, discouragement, and suffering. Once a month I travel to London to see my mum, and I have to pray about it because it breaks my heart to walk into an idolatrous home. And her idols are all there. The pictures are there and the little figures that she worships are there. And I spend a day and I sit with my family and we talk. There is no happiness there. There is no laughter, there is no fun, there is no joy. When I visit a Christian family, there is wonderful joy. We speak about God. We speak about the works of God in our lives. We speak about how God has been gracious to us. And they share a testimony about how a certain event happened in their lives and the grace of God was seen. And I can share a testimony about how a certain event happened in my life and we saw the grace of God. And these stories happen when Christians meet. But you walk into the home of an idolater, there are no such stories. There has never been the grace of God. And I usually come away that day in London, my heart broken, I come away depressed and discouraged. Because idolatry is a cruel, wicked, and a despairing religion. I know the Hindus look happy and they look wonderful and so on. Please take it from me. I know this from the inside. There is nothing in idolatry that brings joy, happiness, or satisfaction to a human being. Only despair, uncertainty, and misery. The world is in need. Forgive me for being selfish, but I'm so glad Graham and Zohari are going to India. It's the place where my ancestors have come from. And of course, India has a special place in my heart. And ever since I became a Christian, I've prayed for India and I've been to India several times and I've led missionary work there and so on because it is a country I love. But one of the reasons I pray for India, not just because it's where my ancestors come from, it is a place of darkness and idolatry. And the people of India are in despair And they need the light of the gospel. They need this. They need Christians to come to their land. They need people who have the joy of the Lord, who have Christ, and who have satisfaction in Christ, who know God as their Father, Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit living in them, an eternal hope of heaven. They need such people to come and live amongst them and to declare the glories of God in their midst. Yes, you can do it by internet and so on, but there's nothing like actually living among the people and letting them see living Christianity in your lives. This is why God sends us into the world, because the world we're going into is a lost world. It's a miserable world. It's an unhappy world. It's a despairing world. And it's a world headed for hell. And God says to us, I am moved by their plight. When Israel were slaves in Egypt and they prayed to God, God spoke to Moses and God said to Moses, I am moved by their plight. Well, God is moved by the plight of these idolaters because they have such misery. The gods of the peoples, verse 5, are worthless idols, worthless idols. A very strong Hebrew phrase. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Do you know, you'll never read such words in the Hindu scriptures. You'll never read such words in the Quran. You don't read words about the beauty of God and the splendor of God and the majesty of God in the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran. Because only our God is glorious and has splendor and beauty and majesty. And we are to make him known.